Got Your Back Podstream is brought to you by Kinprint. For all your company's promotional needs, they do it all. Apparel, promotional products, using the highest quality brands. They do logo design, signage, and printing. Kinprint will promote your brand with excellence. Visit kinprint.ca.
Is a milestone that, you know, I don't think anybody thought I would ever get to when I started my career, and I mean I got to it, which is pretty crazy, honestly, and had a lot of help, especially with a couple special players, especially Connor, and I wouldn't be in this position without him, and I thought it was fitting that he was able to set me up for it.
Did you ever think
Zach Hyman is a 50-goal scorer. Wow, what a signing. What a season. What a guy. One of the best you'll find in the National Hockey League and hitting all new highs on a tough night for the Edmonton Oilers. Welcome to Got Your Back. Looking forward to breaking this thing down with Jason Strudwick. Steve Taylor is at the helm, and I am coming at you from our Long Shot studio here in Sherwood Park. Long Shots available for corporate events. It's so much more than just golf. Great golf simulator experience, but an awesome sports bar as well. And as always, our show is brought to you proudly by our title sponsor, Sherwood Buick GMC. Just a few days left, trying to hit that 400 car mark. And so that means they're going to be doing deals. These are the days to get in there. Go see Phil and the crew. The number one volume GMC dealership in the country, 6 years running, is doing deals right now. This is the time to go. They're trying to hit that mark. If you're even thinking about trading in, swapping out, getting new, you got to go check them out. 10 Auto Mall Road, gmcpod.com is the website. That is Sherwood Buick GMC. Good evening, Struds. How are we doing, my friend? A little family action tonight?
Little family celebration, yes. And apparently I'm the only one who is never gets sick on this podcast. So yeah. I don't know. Do I look after myself? Yes. Am I maybe the next evolution of man? I don't know. But here we are. I'm glad I can celebrate this Oilers game with you, Ryan Rashad.
You, of course, talking about the fact that Rob Brown is not joining us on the podcast. Now, okay, a couple things. One, he did show up. He actually showed up. And I would say he showed up on time, unlike others.
Go on.
And he just sounded like a bag of ass. He sounded awful. Like he was trying to talk. And his voice was cracking. It was all over the place. He wanted to try and persevere. I basically kicked him off the show, Struds. I gave him no choice.
What a warrior. What an absolute warrior he is. He pretends he has a sore throat Sunday night. I wonder what he did last night after the Oilers game. I wonder. I'd be very interested to know where he spent his evening. And did he get to bed early? That's whatever. I'm just wondering. Is he playing guilty?
You know what we're going to call this for Brownie tonight, Struds?
What's that?
We're going to call it a maintenance day for Rob Brown tonight. And with that, let's get to breaking this game down. A tough one. The chat is already, it's grumpy in the Weiss Johnson YouTube chat. It's grumpy and people are swearing and then people are getting mad at each other. And there's just lots going on. Everybody just calm down. Let's be happy for a little bit. We'll talk about Hyman and then we'll get to the garbage afterwards. Our breakdown is brought to you by Mr. Dirk, the iconic men's clothing store in Edmonton, founded in 1939, just off White Avenue and 102nd Street. I was in there just the other day, looking good in there. They got some new shirt stock in there, some new suits. Looking forward to picking up some nice fresh stuff for the playoff run. Strutty, I always try and freshen up the wardrobe a little come playoff time. You got to look sharp, buddy. You can add a little something to your wardrobe for playoff time?
Yeah, probably not. Let's be honest. I mean, right now, I mean, I'm not on TV as much as you. You know, I'm more vocalist.
Yeah.
Voice dubber, I think they call it. So, yeah, no, I don't see that. Not that I don't want to.
Yeah.
Right now, there's not a need right now. But if I did have a need, Mr. Dirk's where I'd go.
Absolutely. And yeah, they got casual stuff too. You know what I would love if you did one day is if you popped up on Overdrive in a full suit, like from your office, wearing your cans, like your headset, and a full, just outdress those guys and blow them out of the water.
Yeah, well, that's not fair. I mean, those guys, you know, put them all together, they add up to a soft eight, you know. So if I put a suit on, I mean, like, it's pretty one-sided.
MrDirk.com is their website. So listen, there's the rain cloud and then there's the sunshine. We're going to talk about the sunshine right now and we'll get to the rain cloud after the fact. Zach Hyman is a 50-goal scorer. Struds, just put into perspective, you saw the reaction from his teammates. We know the person that he is in that room. You know, we deal with him all the time. Just put into perspective what it means for this person to achieve this goal at this point in his career.
I was thinking about it today. I believe I was on two teams where players scored 50 goals. One was Pavel Bure with Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And he, I don't say he was the happiest guy, like about the team wasn't doing very well, but he got his 50 and it was fun, but it was not a reaction like today. Then Jaromír Jágr, I think he got to 54 when I was at the Rangers and we were all happy for him, but he'd done it previously already. The guy was a scoring machine. So this, when he scored it, his reaction, his teammates' reaction, the bench's reaction, even Glenn Gullickson on the bench, I loved it. You could see everyone was really genuinely happy for him. And I thought Hyman looked like he had tears in his eyes. Like, it meant a lot to him. And they've been downplaying it in the days leading up to it. But you could tell once it went in, it was such a sweet moment, Sagar. Yeah. And that's why we love sport. And I loved his reaction, his teammates. Everyone wanted to hug him. It was like a newborn baby. I wanted to hold him and hug him.
Big hugs. Those were big. Yeah, yeah. Those weren't like arm around you, like pull you in. Those were like big arms. They were holding him. Yeah. They were taking turns holding him, enjoying the moment.
So
that's
great.
Love. That's teammate love.
Yeah, and just genuine happiness.
Yes,
genuine. For a teammate. Like genuinely happy that he did it. Not jealousy, not, man, I wish that was me. They're happy that he got it. So love that moment of the game. I wish they could have capped it off the W, but man, did I love that moment for Zach on a very personal note for him.
I love his interview after the game because he did something that he does not indulge a lot in, right? And as a reporter, it kind of sucks because you want players to open up and talk about themselves because they're the stories. And quite often, you got to go talk to a teammate to get them to talk about that player, right? Well, who do we need? We got to get Connor on Hyman because these guys, they're not wired to talk about themselves. But Struds, in this moment, on this night, Zach Hyman talked about himself, reflected on his career, reflected on what this means, reflected on the odds being stacked against him, reflected on the perception of him while he was in Toronto. He opened up about all of it in a beautiful answer. Here it is from the Weiss Johnson soundbox.
I have to think, you know, long term, like my career's kind of always been, you know, let's just achieve what's ahead of us, right? When I was in university, I had two goals my first year. I was drafted and nobody thought I was going to be, you know, I was just a draft pick. I was no longer a prospect and everybody kind of wrote me off. And then I started to score again. And then all of a sudden, you know, I was an NHL player, but I was an NHL player who had no hands and was a grinder playing next to, you know, Austin and Willie. And that was kind of the narrative. And then I scored 10 goals and then 15 and then 20. And then, oh, he's an okay player. He just plays with good players. And I still have that narrative, which is great, you know, and it's awesome. Like, I think it just shows, like, you just hit little milestones along the way and you just block out outside noise and you work really hard and you have a positive attitude and good things happen.
Oh, man, love that answer from Hyman. Love the honesty and reflecting on the perception of him over the last number of years, Struds. Never took any shots, was totally classy about it, but that guy was not kept in Toronto. That guy was basically shown the door. And for him to do this a couple years later at 31, man, that's got to feel good for him.
Yeah, he's dramatically underpaid. Like, let's just call it as it is. Yeah. But to be fair, this is what I see. Just because a player, and we'll use Zach Hyman because we're talking about him, just because Zach Hyman doesn't talk or really not boast, but he doesn't sound like he's a really competitive guy, mm-hmm. doesn't mean he isn't. Yep. Underneath that calmness and that all those little companies he starts and the books he writes and the nice guy demeanor, there is, I bet you, a massive fountain of intensity and competitiveness. And he wants to be better than people think he can be. And every player who steps into any league, I don't care if it's Division 7 men's league, you want to show people you're better than you are. Because I should be better than this league, or I should be playing on this line. And that's what it's all about. So, Zach, don't misread the nice guy act.
No chance.
That he isn't massively competitive human being.
Struts, look at the battles on the ice. You don't go into the corner. Like, just take it right down to a micro level. Puck battle. Yeah. You don't win that many and be that dogged unless fundamentally you are somebody who wants to dominate and beat the person right there.
100%. Your point's really well made. I completely agree with you. But just because Zach doesn't give the fans or the media those little sound bits that maybe an Eichel might give, or, you know, Leon, the cup or bust, and I'm not crapping on him, just like those ones, doesn't mean that he wants to doesn't want to beat everybody out there. So this is the one that I recall, one of the most purest 50 goal scoring situations that we've seen, because nobody was betting on Zach Hyman to score 50 ever in his NHL career. Not one person. Maybe Connor McDavid, but no one else.
You talk about him being overpaid, and you look at his salary, his cap hit, and he actually is. But I actually looked at his contract. He's making 7.6 in cash this year. Okay. So maybe he's feeling the pressure, right? Bringing in the big bones. Bringing in the big bones. And he'll make, I think he even goes up 100K next year. So if he's trying to earn his money and it's salary-based, this was a hell of a year. Connor McDavid on his line mate and his buddy.
Happy for him, obviously. Cool story too, from a guy that, was supposed to just be a checker in this league, and not sure if he would ever make it to this league. He worked his way, he's worked for everything he's gotten, and now he's a 50 goal scorer at the age of 31. It's pretty impressive. It's been cool to see and cool to kind of witness his transition from that to a goal scorer, and everyone's really happy for him.
That from the Weiss Johnson Soundbox, where they're offering $200 off their Fantech HEPA filter system. Be proactive, right? Keep the air in your home clean. If we have another forest fire season like years past, we hope that there isn't a single fire, right? And it got ugly the last few years. You want to feel comfortable somewhere when it gets like that. And your home should be a place where you can feel comfortable. This filtration system will take the smoke out of the air in your home and be especially helpful to those with respiratory issues. Contact Weiss Johnson for an amazing deal and get ahead of the game here. Be proactive. Visit Weiss-Johnson.com. Weiss Johnson. I don't want to stop talking about Zach Hyman because I know what comes next, Struds. Anything else? Can we milk it any further? Any final thoughts on Hyman and 50 and what it all means? How about this? 60 is not out of the question here, bud. Like, it is not out of the question the way this guy's scoring goals.
Yeah, there's no doubt, especially when Connor's doing what he's doing with his passing. So, yeah.
13 games.
Yeah, man, it's
that I love seems when like you hesitate lot. You think it's, while you're talking
it seems like a lot to bite off, but you're right, I'm not saying it's impossible, but whatever he does from here on out, scoring 50 is always in his back pocket. He'll always have that puck.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome, man. Pretty cool moment. Okay, fine, let's move on. Chris Knobloch, what the heck happened to your team?
We're up 3-1, and things were looking good, and we made a mistake, and 3-2, and now they're back in it when it looked like they're out of it. And then, special teams, obviously, that was a big part of this game.
What were your thoughts on the Vincent Desharnais call that led to the Trade Batherson goal?
I didn't see it. Let's just say that.
That was a great clip. I didn't see it. He's not taking the fine. Chris Knobloch, so respectful of the officials. Tonight's about as animated as we've ever seen him. Struds, what are your headlines on the oil tonight outside of Hyman and 50?
Well, I thought he just nailed it right there. Just they gave the Senators a way back into the game.
Yeah.
And I think that's really let's just talk about that, their second goal. Fogel and you know what I'm going to say? You can't trust a forward. But Fogle needs to be between his – I almost text you, but I wanted to save it to be live. He needs to be between his man and the net on the high side of what I call, like, the high side of his man. And when he realizes he's not, that's when Stützle realizes as well. And it's over. And he goes in and he scores. Stützle does, right? So it's just like, oh, my God. And then the call on Darren A., zero. That is not a call. And this isn't a homer. If it had gone the other way, it said the same thing. That is not a penalty call at all. But you still got to get the penalty kill done. They don't. Two players kind of go the wrong way, or both kind of leave a guy wide open to hammer it home. And it's like, oh, my God. Boom. 3-3. Now Ottawa's get some confidence. And now we got a game. And you can't kill a penalty tonight. It makes it pretty hard.
Can we discuss Drake Batherson's saucer passes? Like, the degree of difficulty on that first one, man, that was impressive.
Yeah, he's a very skilled. Like, that's the thing about Ottawa. I think they have some very skilled players.
Yeah.
I don't think that all the pieces fit like they need to. And I think that'll be the challenge, not to get to stand too far back from this loss for the Oilers. But Steve Staios has got to figure out how to make these pieces fit better together. And they may have to make some decisions, you know, not exactly like this, but, you know, how they trade. There was Bo and Byam trade for Mistat, like a hockey trade to get pieces that fit a little bit better, because it just doesn't feel right. Like, I was kind of, okay, how do you put these lines together that make sense? And I don't think that Martin knows either.
So the penalty kill definitely hurt them tonight. You know, Ottawa, what'd they go? 3-for-4, I think, on the 3-for-4 on the power play. What did you make of what the Oilers were able to generate? Because the shot, the ice was tilted, the shot totals were tilted, the shot attempts were extremely tilted. What did you think of what the Oilers were able to generate tonight after, you know, when it was tight? Ottawa works their way back into the game, and that's where the Oilers need to turn it on a little bit. What did you think?
I thought that Ottawa was very opportunistic on their chances. And if tonight the Oilers could lock down their penalty kill, it may be a runaway the other way, and runaway by, like, I mean, 5-1 or whatever, right? Something like that. But the penalty kill just wasn't able to get it done. Your point's well made about Batherson getting it done. But it wasn't like the Oilers played terrible, but they just gave a chance for Ottawa to get back in. I think there's a little bit of a difference there between playing poorly and not really sealing off the opportunities for the other team. Like, let's just go back to that first goal. I'm not a fan of players laying down on the ice.
Yes,
you said that. We talked about that. And Batherson, it was like a practice. He just sauced it right. I think it was Batherson, I think, that sauced it right over Vinny Darrinet.
Oh, yeah.
Bang, right in the back of the net. Now, that may be team mandated. I don't know. But if Vinny stands up, he's not saucing it over top of him. The puck's not being sauced over top of him.
It was so fast. The power play was so fast. Like, win a draw, bang, it's in the net. I think they were like a minute and 10 seconds total power play time. They scored 3 goals. Like, that was nuts how fast and efficient they were. The penalty kill was atrocious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did you say? They were 3-for-4, Ottawa on the power play. And that is really hard night. Now, it's been going pretty well. But let's just be honest here. What is it, the last 2 games? It was 11 goals in Ontario. You know, I think the last, wasn't it? 2 goals is 11. They've got 11 goals the last 2 games total.
11 goals.
And so let's go back to the previous comments when they won the previous 2 games and probably didn't maybe deserve to win them all. And, you know, like, do we learn something? Do we learn something? And the media, you guys were asking them good questions. And, like, well, yeah, you kind of learn something when you win, but I don't think you really do. I think maybe we've seen that the lessons aren't learned unless sometimes you just got to learn the hard way. You know, be ready to play, although they were pretty decent today. Just sealing those little details all over the ice. And they just didn't quite have it yesterday or today. Tough time through Ontario for the Oilers.
Yeah, sometimes the punch in the mouth, right? Sometimes the wake-up call is needed. You think that this, they got Winnipeg, and I know Winnipeg's struggling, but they're a heck of a good team, and they've beefed up at the trade deadline. You got to be awake for Winnipeg, Struds, and this punch in the mouth here in Ontario maybe get some square for that.
I love this. This is the team I'd want to play. Like, let's go play a good team. Let's go in there. These guys have beat us in the playoffs before. They have one of, if not the best goal in the NHL. They have one of, if not the deepest teams in the NHL. Maybe not the highest of high top ends, but they're deep, man. So everyone's got to be on board for this game. This isn't, you know, top line versus top line. This is four lines are going to have to be rolling, 60 are going to have to be rolling. And Stu Skinner's got to look across and stare down possibly a Vezina, well, for sure, Vezina finalist. Winner, possibly, man. I don't get to vote, but I think I love this matchup. I want to go. I gotta get these games behind me and be ready to play on Tuesday night and want to take these guys down.
Kelvin Pickard has been good on a lot of nights for the Oilers. Got to make some saves. Like 11's not enough. You look at a few of the goals. Like he was just flat out getting beat. He was just getting – they were just wiring them past him.
Not his best stuff. No, not his best game. But you know what? Honestly, he deserved one of those, right? Sure. Every goalie has those. So, I'm not going to pile all over him over it.
Me neither.
It wasn't his
– But it's notable, mentionable.
Part of the night. I wasn't saying you were, but it wasn't – it just – he was – like, let's say it this way, Shagar. I think we can agree. He was due. He was due for a he night was due like this.
Yeah.
You know – And he struggled. But if you can get a couple more, like so, the fourth goal on the power play, I think it was. That's probably one he can probably get across there. Maybe close that one off. The Stutzla, you know, the one I talked about, Fogel not being in the right place.
Yeah.
But again, like those guys got to help him out. But mistakes happen all over the ice.
Ryan Nugent Hopkins is having a hell of a time. He hit three posts in the last couple of games here. Yeah. So. The production is not there to the standard that is required of Ryan Nugent Hopkins. Strutz, what are you seeing in his play if the production isn't there?
I think what I've noticed, at least the last couple, especially tonight, is he was trying to shoot from closer to the net. Mm-hmm. You know, that in the third, he hits on the outside of the bar. He was 6 feet from the net. I felt like last year, and you can chime in on this one, I felt he was getting more shots from closer and in the slot. I feel like this year we haven't seen that as much from him. And I think that's something he's got to get his game back to, because you might not score every time you're around the net, but you're getting more opportunities, more looks, more touches when you're in and around the net. And I'm not saying he's playing a perimeter game, but he's got to get back inside that, what I call the house, right? Kind of from the side of the net, out to the dots, up the top of the circles, and then across. Be more inside there. I'd like to see him, because even the power play, like I would think his shooting totals or shot totals are way down from last year, just on the power play itself.
Swanee9 says RNH isn't working for his bounces either. Thought there from Swanee9. What did you think of Adam Henrique and Leon Draisaitl together?
I see that as I've said it before. Henrique is like just a little bit under version of what Nugent Hopkins is his best. So I could see why they would put that there. I understand why he's there and why he's in that place, because he thinks and plays similar to Nuge. So
he had some good looks there tonight.
He did.
Nice handles, right? Like looked good.
Nope, I like him there. Goal. But now everything else is thrown in turmoil. Everything else being the third line, who plays on that line, where does Kane go? Like, does Kane play on his off wing? Whatever, all those things. But I would like to see more of it, because then basically each of Leon and Connor each have a Nuge-like player beside them, a cerebral thinker. And then he maybe put a bit of a worker bee shooter on the other side, if that could be Kane, and obviously who it is in Hyman. Now that's your top six. You got to figure out the rest.
We're going to talk about Evander Kane in our next segment. We're going to talk about the blue line and potential changes moving forward in our next segment. So there's another full segment to break this stuff down. For now, let's get to our UCAN Youth Services Relentless Player of the Night. It's an Edmonton charity, relentless in helping youth age 16 to 24 get out of harm's way and find employment. Visit UCAN.ca. to see how your donation can change lives right here in our community. Got Your Back is a very proud partner, a very proud monthly donor, UCAN Youth Services, and we encourage you to go to UCAN.ca, learn a little bit about what they're all about, and if you can, join us as monthly donors. Strutty, you don't have to go with Hyman just because he got his 50th. You don't.
I know. It's hard to. I have a hard time giving out on nights like this for the Oilers. I thought they actually were decent. I'm going to go away from the Oilers. Okay. I'm going to go with Nathan MacKinnon. Extends his home point streak to 34 games.
I didn't see that. Yeah. Okay.
I think he had two goals and one assist, or one goal and two assists. And honestly, it doesn't matter. But I think he's 18 points games in a row with a point. But I think that's 34 straight games at home with a point. This guy is killing it.
He's a beast.
He is killing it. And I mean, he Kucherov, McDavid are all killing it. And what I love about it, Schrager, all doing it different ways. That's the best part about our game, is that you can be great in so many different ways.
Yeah.
And these three are truly doing different ways.
Some guys, it's crazy speed and puck handling. Some guys, it's amazing agility and a wicked shot. Some guys, it's just good, honest, off the glass and outplay, Strutty. Everybody can be brilliant.
Yeah, I wasn't at the top, but you look at like Kucherov slows it down and just thinks the game so well and at a super elite level. McDavid does pure speed and smooth. You got MacKinnon, pure speed with nothing but raw power.
Oh.
And all three are putting up crazy numbers this year. And I love that. You don't have to be, there's not one way to be great or even good in the NHL.
If the Oilers keep dropping points here, there's going to be a little meat on the bone for that April 5th matchup, right? The Oilers are still going to be battling here trying to get home ice. And so if there's some meaning in that game against Colorado on the 5th of April, that's going to be a gooder. I'm not sure what the last one of the year will look like, but I'm looking forward to that next one because, you know, the Oilers are going to want to earn some back against them, Strutty.
Yeah, well, for sure. Yeah, I mean, the Oilers are fighting. They're fighting for their lives, but there's quite a few little battles. Just ask the Central Division.
No kidding. All right, that was our breakdown brought to you by Mr. Dirk and our UCAN U Services Relentless Player of the Game. When we come back, we'll dig into Evander Kane. Was absent from the lineup tonight for what the coach described as a maintenance day before the game. I'll talk a little bit about 91's play and him being absent from the lineup tonight. Talk a little bit about the blue line, Troy Stetcher, and whatever else comes to mind. Plenty still ahead here on the show, so stick around. Short break.
The fastest growing male grooming company on the planet just got even better. Backscape 2.0 with a revolutionary friction fit handle makes the razor easy to pop in and out to shave not only your back, but anywhere on your body. And those hard-to-reach spots just got even easier with the new ergonomic design. Backscape's new titanium shave head makes for a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. Backscape 2.0. Stay smooth, gentlemen.
Let's get to our takeaways brought to you by Dr. Tyler Fix and Redefined Health. If you're an athlete like myself and Struds, you know how taxing sports can be, like tennis on the body. At Redefined Health, they help athletes achieve better overall performance and prevent injuries. Adding professional treatment to your training can be the missing link to pushing yourself to the next level. Let the team at Redefined Health help you perform at your absolute peak. RedefinedHealth.com is the website. Strud, you mentioned Pavel Bure as a teammate. What was Pavel Bure like? What was he like as a dude, as a teammate, as a guy?
I was only like 10 games or 11 games. And let's be honest, I'd been traded for his best friend, you know, Gino Ojic.
Yeah.
So I don't think I was his favorite guy. It wasn't like I was like, they were trained for Brian Leetch either.
Yeah.
So, and it, not that he toured me poorly, but he was a guy that arrived quite late for practice and arrived, left quite early. So we didn't have a lot of bonding time. I think our conversations were fairly limited down to maybe, hi, I'm Pav. Hi, I'm Jason.
Hi, yeah.
Pass me the puck if I'm open. Understood, Mr. Burry.
Understood, sir, yes. Congratulations on your 50 goals. Yeah. Machine Gun Janmark says, the Oilers are kind of a hot mess right now. They have no established line combinations. We weren't going to talk about this, but that is such a good comment. I want to just dig into that a little bit here, Struds. 13 games left in the regular season, hurtling towards the playoffs. What the hell are the lines on this team? What are they? I don't know what they are. And as of right now, I'm not sure the head coach knows what they are either. They got a lot of good players and some stuff that works sometimes. But I think hot mess, as far as establishing some consistency, is fair. How concerned should they be?
Okay, let's talk about what we know. I believe that the top line is Nuge, McDavid, and Hyman. I think that's one. The second line center is Leon Draisaitl.
Leon Draisaitl, we know that.
I believe that the fourth line center is Sam Carrick.
Okay, we know that.
So that 13. Is five out of... Do I have anything else?
Is 13 the fourth line left winger?
Yeah, sure. Let's do that. Let's just... So that's six. We have six spots that I think we can feel pretty comfortable placing a wager on, saying these are our guys.
Yeah.
After that, things get a little bit crazy. I think the first domino drop is who is playing with Leon. So who's playing with them? And that, and then, so that's the problem. But that's the problem. I don't know. And so I could tell you probably, well, let's go through it. Henrique, Kane, Fogel, McLeod, Perry. That's five guys, five different players that we could say are on that line. You only need two. And if until we know that, we can't even get to the third line because we don't know who's the third line center. I guess you could say it's either 71 or 19 are the third line centers. Is that fair?
Yep.
So that's sure. So we're at 6.5, right? That's probably 6.5. So that's it. That's all. That's yep, all.
That's
I know
all we know. And that's all
I know for sure.
That's not that's a good thing, Strutty. Like, that's not an okay, not good thing this close to the playoffs.
It is not. It is not. So that he has 12, 13 games to sort that out. And I think it's on him being the coach, Nobby, as they call him, to sort this out and to get a little bit of stability through these lines. And figure this out, because it is right now, it's up in there. It's not the end of the world, but when they were winning and playing really well, it was fairly stable. Those lines are fairly stable.
Yeah.
And now they got a little bit more depth. They got to figure out what stability looks like through the four.
Thank you for that excellent point. Added some good content to the pod. Let's talk about Evander Kane. Okay, we're not going to traffic in conspiracy theories. You know, we're still rooted in facts here on the podcast, so we're not going to let this run rampant with what if, right? I will say that it was notable to me, Struds, that the language that was used was today was a maintenance day. That is something you say when a player wasn't on the ice for practice. That's something you say on an off day when he, you know, didn't take part with the rest of the team. Players take maintenance days because they need, you know, they're not injured. They just need a day to get themselves squared away, to heal some stuff up and bumps and bruises and such. I have never before heard a game day off described as a maintenance day. That was notable to me. This has happened before this season. There was a game where he was scratched, and I can't remember exactly the language that was used, in LA on December 30th, I believe. Situation felt a little bit similar. So again, notable the language was used today, Struds. What do you make of all of it?
I was really surprised that he didn't play. He's an important part of this team. And when you're not playing, especially when you kind of don't see it coming, you know, was there an injury saw or talked about after the game in Toronto? I didn't hear him anything. So it's surprising. I guess you're looking at, is it a situation where he's now getting, kind of like Kawhi Leonard, right? Just load management. And give him a break. And we saw a break, what it meant and what it did for Mattias Ekholm when he was sick for those 5 days. He's on record saying that he feels incredible. And Ekholm's skating all over the place.
Yep.
So maybe they feel the same thing for Kane. So, but what's interesting is that, you know, you fly into Ottawa. You would have got there at a decent, not super early, but a decent time, like midnight or whatever. When does this conversation happen? Does it happen after the game in Toronto? Does it happen in the morning? Well, they're not really having meetings. They might have a meeting at lunchtime. So they'd have a meeting at lunchtime. Did Kane skate with the other guys? They would have skated, I'm guessing, the extras this morning.
6 o'clock start out there, though. So there's not really much of a morning skate.
But usually, yeah, it's fair. But usually the guys that don't, like, that aren't playing would go and skate. Trust me. I know. And so you'd go and skate. But there'd be very few on this team because there aren't a lot of extra guys. So When did he find out in this whole stretch? Was it when they all went to the rink at 3:45, is that when they figured it out? So the timing of it would be interesting for me, and when it happened would be interesting.
Big picture here, he doesn't have any goals in 16 games. He's got 4 assists in that time. I feel we've seen a bit of an uptick in his emotional engagement in games. He's been at least trying to finish some checks. I've seen improvement in his play, but it's nowhere near production-wise what he was brought here to do. It's nowhere near where it should be. Now,
he might argue, or those in his camp might argue, he's been bounced around the lineup a little bit and inconsistent line mates and lots of time on the third line, and that his best numbers producing on this team are obviously with McDavid and Draisaitl. But overall, Struds, the body of work here has been significantly underwhelming.
Yeah, it hasn't been, I think, not to put words in your mouth, but I would say hasn't been consistently scoring like they need him to.
Mm-hmm. But I think his play overall has been pretty underwhelming until just recently here.
Yeah, and I think that's very true. I think that the last little while, I think he's getting around the net and scoring more and being more physical. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that he's been emotionally engaged in the play, you know, as much as we'd like to see him. He's at his best when he's emotionally engaged in the game. I haven't seen enough of that from him. Now, it's hard to do that 82 games. Oh, I know. He's getting paid. He's supposed to be a professional. I get it. I get all those things. But it doesn't matter. It's still really hard to do it. So, you know, today he doesn't play. The team doesn't win. I'm expecting he'll be back in there Tuesday. And I can't wait to see what Evander brings, because he knows that. Like, and if I was a leader on that team, I'd go and talk to Evander and say, buddy, you're a huge part of this team, man. We need you at being Evander 100%. 100% we need you committed to this. And not that he hasn't been committed, but we believe in you. We need you. We want you to be the guy that we know you can be and have shown us to be for stretches this year.
For sure. And by the way, if he was just hurt and couldn't play tonight, then the coach needs to change the way he's describing that.
Yeah, fair.
Right? You need to say he's not available to us tonight. Right, make it obvious, because when you say he's taking a maintenance day on a game day, then every reporter's pincers were up today going like, what? A maintenance day on a game day? That doesn't make sense. So I don't know exactly what the deal is, but wasn't available to them tonight or wasn't in tonight, and we'll see what he can bring against the Winnipeg Jets coming up here on Tuesday. I want to talk about the D. We discussed Troy Stetcher going in. Listen to Rob Brown on the post-game show tonight on 630 CHED, which he was able to tough his way through. Apparently that check was worth it, Struds.
Yeah,
he did sound like he sounded brutal. He's not as convinced that Stetcher's going to have a role to play here. Like, Brownie's been hesitant every time I've talked about this. But I think that it is time. I think it's time. Now, whether it's Desharnais or whether it's CeCe, probably in this moment it should be CeCe. Honestly, the Oilers traded at the deadline for a decent defenseman and gave themselves depth. What's the point of that if you don't let the internal competition happen? What is the point of a guy coming in and doing what he's supposed to do, which is play well, if the internal competition is not allowed to naturally take course? It's time to allow the competition for the right side on the blue line for nature to take its course. It's time.
So you're taking CeCe out right now?
I would.
See, I actually think there's something not right with the big boy, Vinny. Pre-fight and post-fight, I don't see the same player. I don't think he's as physically engaged in the match, in the games. His passing still looks okay, so that maybe defies what I'm trying to say. But
well, if he's hurt, then take him out. That's fine. If CeCe's the healthier of the two, then do that. But if both guys are healthy, I'd take CeCe out.
I think it's Vinny. I would take Vinny out if there is an issue with his hand or whatever. Because I go back to the game in Toronto. He needs to be a masher to their skilled players when his skilled players are getting mashed by similar D-men on the other side.
Yeah.
And we didn't see it from him.
But you know who else we didn't see it from? How big is Cody CeCe? How strong is Cody CeCe? Generally regarded as one of the strongest players on the team. His compete level is not high enough right now. It's not. He's not meeting the standard for what it's going to have to be for this team to go where it needs to go. So you've got another defenseman that's in town. It's like, just give me a look. Just give me a look. You can play Stetcher with Darnell Nurse. You can. It's worked. You can do it. So let nature happen, man. Send a shot across the bow. It's time to shake things up. It's getting a little too cozy and a little too comfortable. Start sitting some guys. When Evan Bouchard doesn't show the sense of urgency that is required in a moment, skip over him for a shift. It's not the end of the world. It happens all the time. Yet in this town, on this team, it's like the end of the world if somebody gets sat for a game or benched for a few shifts. It's like, oh, you know, this is nature. This is the way hockey is. And the lack of competition happening internally for spots has hurt this team all year long. It's time to let nature take its course in this bloody lineup.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. And I understand what you're saying. Yeah, I think that CeCe, I think maybe just a reset might help.
Sure.
But
he might win the battle. I'm not saying he'll be overtaken right. And be out of the line. He might win. It might awaken something in him and he'll go, yeah, I got to get my ass in gear here for sure.
But I think it's the physicality point you make is really well made. You know, you look at Toronto now, they have Edmondson, Benoit, and then who's the other guy I missed? Oh, McCabe.
Yep.
Three physical players, and I believe they're all on different lines. And if I'm wrong about that, then I apologize. But half their D are physical. The Oilers need to have at least three guys that are being physical as well. I'm looking at Darnell Nurse, Vinny Dernay, and Cody Ceci. Those three guys. Now, Kulak can be as well, but they need to find that physicality and a little bit more edge. You know, remember a couple of years ago, it was like, we got to be hard to play against. And speed and skill and all that helps. But when you get down to heavy lifting, you still got to do it in the trenches. I'd like to see those four D-men specifically bring a little bit more.
The standard needs to be higher. Jay Woodcroft had a hard time holding this group accountable. And as a group, they let it slip way too far at the start of the year. He didn't do enough to get his arms around that. And it wasn't all his fault. That was his fault in it. And I think Chris Knobloch needs to bear some teeth here. And I think he needs to bear some teeth with, you know, his lineup decisions, bear some teeth with some in-game decisions. I think that those decisions need to match what the standard should be. And I think there are a few instances where the standard is slipping and there isn't really anything happening. And I think that's a problem. And I think if you want to be a Stanley Cup winning team, you have a coach that is willing to hold you accountable when standards slip. He'll pat you on the back and he'll send you back out there. But players should fear that if they continually make a mistake of poor coverage over and over, vacating the front of the net, of going into the corner and not competing, of not backchecking, if you continue there making these mistakes, there has to be punishment. There has to be accountability so that it stops. And this team needs to start injecting some of that into its lineup. This coach does. Okay, I'm done. I'm done preaching that. Okay, we got Strutty's World coming up next. Or no, we got Take a Lap coming up next. Strutty's World and Ask Us Anything as well. Lots of great action happening on the stream here tonight. Want to hear what you have to say about what I just had to say about Strud's assertions tonight. What do you think is going on, the situation on defense? What's the right move to make? Steve Taylor is gathering some of the best comments, and we'll go over those in Ask Us Anything. Real short break, and we will be right back. Long Shots Golf is the destination for both golf enthusiasts and sports fans. Top-of-the-line TrackMan simulators provide a highly entertaining and accurate golf experience, while a full-service sports bar loaded with big screens and scratch kitchen make it a truly unique destination. They have locations in Sherwood Park in Edmonton. Experience the best indoor golf and sports bar in town. Visit longshots.ca. That's longshots with a Z.ca.
Time to talk about your mortgage? It doesn't have to be a daunting conversation. With over 16 years in the industry, Maria Gallus with Maximal Mortgages knows how to make it easy. With access to dozens of different lenders, let Maria customize the perfect solution for you. Whether you're purchasing, refinancing, or renewing, or a first-time buyer, Maria's simplistic approach and expert advice will have you feeling confident you're in great hands, making informed decisions. Take the stress out of your mortgage journey. Contact Maria Gallus at mortgagesbymaria.ca. That's mortgagesbymaria.ca.
Let's take a couple of laps, shall we? Brought to you by Backscape, the fastest growing male grooming company on the planet. And it's even better now. Backscape 2.0 is here. Engineered for shaving the back. The new Friction Fit handle allows you to effortlessly snap the shaver in and out to touch up the rest of your body as well. The new titanium shave head gives a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. GYB10 is the promo code. If you go to backscape.com, that's backscape.com, and you will get 10% off. GYB10 is the promo code. Backscape, stay smooth, gentlemen. Ready?
We had one, then we had a second 50-goal score tonight. Obviously, yeah. Zach Hyman. And Sam Reinhart got two goals tonight, including his 50th. I think two goals and assists, actually, as Florida took down Philly. So they lose it. I think they lost three or four in a row, Philly or Panthers had. Yep. But either way, Reinhart gets his 50th. So two 50th goal scorers. Pretty cool. Two guys that weren't cast off from their original teams. But, you know, Sam Reinhart traded away from Buffalo and obviously got Hyman signing with the Oilers. So congrats to Sammy Reinhart.
33 was his previous high. I remember when Sam Reinhart got drafted, I got into a huge debate with the quiz master, Steve Dryden. And I like Sam, like nice kid, you know, nothing against him. I did not think he had the boots to make an impact in the NHL. I really thought that he was going to struggle, Strutty, to make an impact in the NHL. Well, 23 goals his first year, 17, 25, 22, 20, immediate 20-goal scorer. But that's a good example. Another example of a guy that isn't a great skater, but finds a way to get it done and hit that 50 mark.
Yeah, Mark Stone, right? So, you know, it's funny. I've seen Sam interviewed a few times, and he makes fun of himself for not being a fast skater.
Yeah.
And I think that's hilarious. Like, I love that. So anyways, yeah, congrats to him. And, you know, I think 50 is special. 60 is amazing, but I just think 50 is still the number that's really cool. Next up on the line, I've been on this club's case for many years. And I go back to when they had a number of free agents, including Sergei Bobrovsky, and Columbus refused to trade away their UFAs. Instead, they added more, which at the time I did not understand that they weren't trading guys away and adding more. And to their congratulations to them, they won a playoff round. And it set them back. Now, tonight, they're officially eliminated from the playoffs 4 years in a row. They haven't made the playoffs. And this team, they are closer. They've got some good young players, but they still got to figure out their GM. I'm guessing not to figure out a new coach. No disrespect to what's his name? The French guy.
Pascal Vincent.
Pascal Vincent, yeah. Who took, and I'm not saying he isn't the answer, but they got to figure out if he is the answer after the whole Babcock fiasco. Like, it just, this team has been floundering for a number of years, but maybe they got the solution in hand now with some young good players. I'm not sure if they do though.
Feels like it's a ways away, man. It feels like it's a ways away. And it's been a long time. Like, it feels kind of Oiler-like, right? That decade of darkness, you know, where it's just expected year after year, the darkness, you know, and it feels like it's just this big pit and how to pull yourself out of it. And, you know, they seem like this assembly of parts that don't necessarily all fit together that great, right? Like Johnny Gaudreau's a good player. For sure he's a good player, but just the sum of the parts is just not very good.
Well, it's just they're similar to Ottawa. They have some players that you like and you value, but they just don't always fit together. And then you got the whole situation with Patrick Laine, you know, who is working through some stuff. And I get it. Like, I understand that's a hard, but he is part of their team. They want to be part of the solution. But it is really a challenging time there in Columbus. And I'll say this once, and I'll try not to say it too often again, but when you're rebuilding, sometimes you just have to bite the bullet and just grind through a big giant turd. And it's not just 1 year or 2 years. You just have to say, I hate when GM said, I'm going to speed this thing up. I'm an impatient guy. Okay. Well, you're impatient. And instead of being brutal for X number of years, you're now brutal for three times X, right? Like, just bite the bullet. Don't make dumb acquisitions. Don't try to quote unquote speed things up.
But you know what the problem though, Struds, is when you hang on to a GM too long, he literally feels like at the end is nigh for 3 years.
Yeah.
And so you make moves not with the long term in mind. You're close to, and I mean, it's probably subconscious to a degree, but I mean, some of the contracts, man, like Severson and even the Branson deal, it's just like.
But what I would do, I would be the perfect GM. And if anyone's looking for a GM, I would be the perfect GM for someone who wants to go into the tank. I am your guy because I'm not trying to win. I'm trying to build you up for 3, 4, 5 years from now. I will suck on the worst team for 3 years. Just no problem. I will literally guide you through it. I'll say all the right things to the media and the fans. And then after the 3 years, I've got you through some of the worst of it. Then you can kick me out. No problem. No problem.
Sure. I'll walk away. Fire me. Yeah.
I'll have won in 3 years, maybe 60 games collectively. That's it. That's all you need. And I'll go down as one of the greatest GMs of all time because I finally had the right mindset. Don't try to speed things up. We're brutal. We're trying to be brutal, and we're accepting the fact that we're brutal.
Strutty's appearances on the podcast brought to you by our great friends over at Kinprint. If you're a new company, see how Kinprint can help you with logo design and branding, right? If you're a new company and you want to get started, you're thinking, what am I going to look like? What are we supposed to look and feel like? Kinprint can actually help you. If you're at that stage, call them. They can help you figure that stuff out. It's some of the most important decisions generally made at a time where you're probably feeling a little bit clueless. I know. I've been there. Kinprint.ca is the website. When we come back, Strutty's World. Which direction are we going, bud? I'm thinking you got to go lighter tonight.
That's a light.
Tough one for Oilers fans tonight.
It's light. I've had this one in my pocket. Fluffy. Oh, I had a great, I can't wait to tell you what I did today. And I know everyone is going to be, they'll be like, yeah, he's right. He's right.
Good. Sounds good. A lighthearted Strutty's World is coming up.
Winter is upon us, so why not make the best of it? Marmot Basin Ski Resort is where it's at. Ski half price every day, no blackout periods. Pick up your escape card for $99 and make winter fun more affordable. Half the price, all the powder. Get yours at www.skimarmot.com.
When you make a mistake, heads should roll. It's not right, and I'm here. Someone has to put their foot down. Now that I say it out loud, it does sound a little crazy.
Guy, look good.
No, I forgot about the new song. Here we go.
Oh, Steve-o, Steve-o. So that was a technical upgrade that Zuby made. He loves the shipwreck rum music so much. He was like, hey, Shocker, when we come back out of break, can I just, when you're doing the ad read, can I run the tropical music? I was like, yeah, Zuby, you're the technical director. You got it, Steve? Do you have it?
You betcha. Here we go.
Hit it, buddy. Time now for Strutty's World, brought to you by Shipwreck Rum. The Brindley family has been handcrafting their rum on the Caribbean island of St. Kitts for decades now. All those steel drums, they just feel so tropical. Shipwreck vanilla is blended with natural Madagascar vanilla. Gives it an incredible smoothness, I can attest. Take one sip and you will agree, it truly is a vacation in a bottle. Get Shipwrecked. Available at your local liquor retailer. And as always, enjoy responsibly. Oh, but you will enjoy. Strutty.
There are a few things I love. I love working around the yard, right? I do some, like, I'm not the biggest green thumb, but I make it happen. But I can always tell when it's time of year, I get a little itchy to sweep out my garage. And so the last couple of days, I put my truck, I left it out on the driveway so it could dry inside my garage. Then today I took the old scraper out and the broom, and I didn't do my wife's side. Obviously, she doesn't want to do it. Maybe a little premature, but I swept that baby out, or scraped it, then swept it out. And there is not a dust or a piece of dust or a little rock at all anywhere in my garage. And it feels so good. It feels like I feel at least like I'm scraping and sweeping winter away, and it's time for the great spring. The sweeping of your garage is an annual tradition that feels so good. And to me, it symbolizes the coming of spring, guys. Tell me I'm wrong, but I love it, Shocker. I love that time of year. Steve, I'm sure you have a garage that you sweep out and are diligent with as well.
Yeah, hop in here, Steve. You can have at her with this one. It Struds, what you got? You got the double or you got the triple? What is the finishing on the floor? And yeah, your vehicles park inside during the winter, so there's a lot of muck and sand and such. Like, is it a major sweep out?
No, I just did my side. My wife, she doesn't want to leave her car outside. And I get it, but I'm like, well, then you're not going to get cleaned up. Yeah,
you only did half the garage?
That's right. Well, I'm not going to do it when it's wet. moisture. I don't.
Oh my goodness, Struds.
I don't do it.
You didn't even do the whole thing. You got to clear the garage out and get every corner. How do you have any satisfaction whatsoever from an incomplete swept garage?
So what I do, this
is still a dusty mess.
I usually do two. So what I, this is, if you really want to get personal. So I usually do one around now and I get a chance and break in the weather and I do it. And then I, after the city cleans all the streets, then I return and I do it again. Cause now
you
I
do
know
the whole thing or just half of it.
I do the whole, well, that's my wife's decision. I don't run her,
Steve,
her world.
Tell him he's full of crap here. He totally blew his credibility being this ultimate sweeper when he said he only did half the job.
Well, yeah, like dust is just going to move from Shona's side of the garage to yours right away, right?
That's her problem. That's not my problem.
Well, it becomes your problem pretty quickly.
How can you sit there with a feeling of satisfaction? You're like, yep, no, and it's just crap over on that side.
Well, her side, the door into our garage or our house is on my side. So that's clean. My entryway is clean. And I will be like, just this week, I'll be bringing the bikes up, get them all ready. So I usually park outside so I can have all the bikes and stuff organized and set up. So I'll have it all organized. I said, if you leave your car out for a couple of days, I will scrape your side. She chose not to. That's her choice. Listen, I don't tell her how to live her life. There's no doubt she has a very handsome husband, but she can make her own choices and do what she wants to do.
So I have, that was a good Strutty's World. I don't mind that. I kind of call bullshit on your feeling of this complete job. I think you're missing out. I think what you need to do is just do it to its entirety and then really sit back and behold the work ethic and the job. It's half done.
I think
the work is coming.
You can't sweep out a wet garage. I understand what Struds is saying. Yeah. And you can't do that unless the power. Yeah. Now in Kelowna, it's been dry here for a long time. Like everything's dry. We don't have to leave the car out of the garage for a few days right now. It's great. So yeah, everyone's out with their brooms right now in Kelowna. It's awesome.
Rye guy says, I'll never look at Struds the same. Chris R says, well, Struds will be sleeping on his side of the garage. You only do half the garage.
I could. It's clean enough. I could do that. Steve, where does everyone in Kelowna sweep their grit? Do they put it in the garbage or do they throw it back on the street where it came from?
Back on the street right now because the street sweepers haven't come through yet.
I do. That's what I do. I throw it right back on the street. You brought it in there, you take it back.
Once the street sweepers come, then I have a problem with that. But before, it's fair game. Just throw it on.
Fair point.
I got a quick little reveal here. I've been spending tons of time in my garage. Guess what I got the green light for, Struds? Steve-O, guess what I got the green light for?
The sim?
It's big.
You're allowed to park your car in the garage?
No. Golf sim.
Yeah,
the golf sim, really? Baby. Garage is turning into a golf sim. I am so fired up. I am so excited. I've been diving into this project for 3 straight days, sweeping like a madman. I did a complete job of, decluttering, right? Getting rid of, purging a bunch of stuff, pulled everything out, a deep sweep of the garage, Struds. Maybe that's why I'm just not impressed because I have done a proper job recently.
Now, did you have to sweep the whole garage? Because can you hit it from one end of your garage to the other?
Yes. It is a small garage. I have a small garage. All right. I'm a man with a small garage. I don't want to tell you.
I was more of just talking about how far you hit the ball. Like you could sit at the door of your garage and not hit the back of your garage.
He's doing a lot of golf chirping for a guy that lost the one game we've actually competed against each other. Wow. One game we've competed and I won. Yeah. And I'm not bragging, Strud. You just do a lot of chirping.
I hit your vibe so far over your ball. Like, what do you have to hit? Like, honestly, a 9 or an 8 to catch up to my drive, your second shot? Just be honest.
You did outdrive me a ton. For sure you
did. I did. It was every time. Anyways, let's not make this personal.
Well, you can come over to the sim when it's up and running and we can compete. And maybe it'd be an opportunity for us to get closer and we can have Brownie over. We can hang out together. We can spend some time off air together. We can just sort of build the whole friendship thing.
I could see that. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Seriously? Yes.
Yeah, why not? I'll bring my swimsuit, jump in the hot tub.
Okay.
Be great.
Bug it. Done. Steve, we got him on record, buddy.
Yeah, I'll clip it.
My new best friends are coming over. Okay, Ask Us Anything is coming up. That was Strutty's World, brought to you by Shipwreck Rum.
For over 60 years, Belvedere Golf and Country Club has been delivering a high-quality golf experience to Edmonton and area. This beautiful private club, located on Highway 21 just south of Sherwood Park, occupies 160 acres and presents a challenging yet adventurous 18-hole design. A beautiful clubhouse, fully stocked pro shop, and warm, friendly staff truly make it feel like you belong to something unique and special. Visit www.belvederegcc.com.
And if anybody's wondering, that was the golf course that I beat Struds on, Belvedere Golf and Country Club. We're going to get out a few more times this year. I think it'd be good. It's good for the pod, get little competitive juices flowing. He beats us both, though, doesn't he, Struds?
Oh, yeah, he does. Yeah, yeah. He's
like really good?
He's incredible. Oh, he's, yeah, he's, I would not chirp him. I chirp him about a lot of things, but not that.
So the guy who texts the lawyer, you can't handle the truth, the tennis pro, yes,
that's right,
and gets absolutely schooled, you wouldn't chirp Brownie on his golf game?
No, 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 because I've seen Brownie golf. I hadn't seen Mark, the lawyer, play tennis. Now I won't chirp the lawyer anymore.
Bitumen says, Shogger, a small garage makes the truck look bigger. The truck from Sherwood Buick GMC, by the way. Let's get to Ask Us Anything, brought to you by Match Eatery and Public House. Happy hours better at Match Pub Ice District. Score 20% off appies, half price wine, and other drink specials every day, 2 to 4 p.m. Located adjacent to Rogers Place in Grand Villa Casino. For more information, check out matchpub.com. Steve, hop on in here and let's rock and roll through a few of these before we wrap up this Sunday night.
Okay, some people asking about Campbell and, you know, just based on the fact that the Oilers have let in so many goals in the last couple games, of course, Campbell's name comes up. So Ahmed says, Oilers should bring back the soup and see how he does. Pauly replied with, Ahmed, please don't utter that player's name in anything oil. And Bob's your uncle said, hey, Scoops, the soup is scalding hot right now. So yeah, just thoughts on when and if we'll see Campbell back.
2.58 goals against average, 920 save percentage so far. He's played 29 games down there, but has been really good recently. There are cap implications to that happening. They're still tight to the cap, so I'm not even sure. I'll check in with Hart if they're even able to do it right away here, Struds. But I mean, Peckard had one bad night here. He's been really good otherwise. It's not time.
Listen, it's a very positive thing that Campbell's doing what he's doing. I think it's fantastic, but the cap, I think, makes it really hard to have it happen. I don't feel that the last two games has been on the goaltending. You know, I think that we can, today wasn't a great night for Peckard, but I think he was due for one of these. Just like every goalie in the league is due for these. And then yesterday, I don't think it was the goalie at all. I think it was the players in front of him. So let's not overreact here. I think if there's one thing we love to do in Edmonton, it's overreact.
Yeah.
And I'm advising not overreact.
Strutty, I'll throw something at you quick here, Steve, as sure. You get an extra comment ready. Someone who I know listens to the pod because he just can't get enough of it and loves it, whose opinion I actually respect a fair amount, sent me a note tonight suggesting that Sam Carrick was a bit of an issue, right? Not winning faceoffs, not doing a lot on the penalty kill. Mm-hmm. Add him to the list of guys that didn't fully do their job here over the last few games. And tonight was a tough one for him from that standpoint. Not a player we talk a lot about as the fourth line center, but again, competition, right? Competition. Sam Carrick's not going to be winning those draws and doing a good job on that penalty kill. Then, and I know Ryan was in tonight, there are other players that can play that position. Set the bar and put the guys in that are getting the job done.
Well, you don't have to tell him that he had an off night, right? He'll know. He's old enough. He evaluates himself. He's earned every game he has in the NHL. He's earned it with how hard he's worked. So, he also had what I would call an off night. You know, it happens to players. Unfortunately, you can't have too many players having an off night, or just maybe in specific parts of the game, like the penalty kill. When the group has an off night, it's tough. When one guy has an off night, it's bad enough. But when the group as a penalty killer has an off night, it makes it really hard.
Steve?
Okay. Bob's your uncle with a couple comments. First of all, he says, imagine the poor kid who walks into Stretty's garage with sandy shoes on trying to sell Girl Guide cookies.
Don't stand on my wife's side. Your sullen shoes.
But a more serious one from Bob's your uncle. He says, hey, has anyone noticed the officiating tighten up already pre-playoffs. Teams who push the Zebras buttons are getting pushed back right now.
Meh. I'm blowing the whistle on that one. I don't want to talk about the refs. Steve Struds, what do you think? Meh.
Yeah, I did. I didn't like the call on Darren A today for sure. That led to the which one was it? The third goal might have been the third goal, but anyways, I didn't like that call. And also, I don't buy Girl Guide cookies, not because I don't like them, but because I believe they only sell peppermint cookies.
What? Girl Guide, you only sell the chocolate and vanilla.
I think they only sell peppermint. I might be wrong. Someone weigh in. I was told they only sell that. So my wife buys them. And not like I snub the girls, but I just say, sorry, I don't like peppermint.
Can you buy them for your wife?
No, I don't. I refuse. She can get her own. She has a sweeper side of the garage.
Man, I don't like the direction this is headed. You're going to be living in my basement soon. How do you guys eat your Oreos, by the way?
I don't really buy any. I think my wife buys them. She hides them because she knows I like them. I just eat them whole.
You just fire a whole one into your mouth and just crunch away. You too, Steve?
Just
yeah. I think realistically, yeah. In my mind, I'd probably do the twist and lick. But yeah, it's so rare, and I'm probably in a hurry running through an airport or something like that I'm just gonna. Sure.
You got to do the twist, eat the dry side, then the lick, and then leave just enough on there to pop the other one in your mouth. There's an art to it, but you guys know I'm a big texture guy. Moving on, Steve.
Okay.
But why do you only eat Oreos in airports, Steve? That was a really weird comment.
You know why? I was on a red eye last night. I just spent 5 hours in the Calgary airport, and you know, there were snacks coming from everywhere. Yeah, and it's just chaos. And
there's no pretzels. There's nothing healthy.
The kids were handing me snacks, like snacks that I wouldn't normally eat. And you're looking for a garbage can, you just eat it instead.
Anyway, you know what I did yesterday? Speaking of not being healthy,
I was so
hungry after building my simulator in the garage. I came in and I wasn't sure what the plan was for dinner, so I grabbed leftover spaghetti from like the day before. So I had a plate of spaghetti, and as I'm finishing my plate of spaghetti, Randine walks through the door. I'd completely forgotten this was planned like 3 days before, and I was told about it. Walks through the door with like full spread of Chinese food, like full spread. Oh. All the good stuff, everything, right? It had been planned. You know what I did, guys? I had two dinners.
Double carb heavy dinner.
I had a plate of spaghetti and chased it with a giant plate of Chinese. Jeez. Yeah, it was gluttonous. But in fairness, I'd been working so hard all day, I basically hadn't eaten anything. So earned it.
Calorie neutral for sure. Yeah. Okay. Paulie says, I think McDavid is just so good that Boosh especially defers to him. When's the last time we saw Boosh make a move and use that sneaky twister? Or Nuge use the shot from the top of the circle? Thoughts on just people deferring to McDavid, Struds?
I don't know. I honestly don't feel like Nuge is even getting in position to have those shots, if I'm being completely honest. Like, I just don't see the opportunity. I don't feel like he's looking those shots off, guys. Am I wrong, Shogger?
No, I wouldn't say so. I mean, he's hit three posts in the last couple of, he could have two goals easily in the last couple of games, and we're off this narrative. But overall, he hasn't been contributing as much as he needs to. Same thing, been moved around the lineup a fair amount, but he's had lots of time with the big guys. And so the numbers aren't where they should be given that opportunity. But no, I wouldn't say that he's looking off a bunch of great shooting opportunities. Bouchard, yeah. I mean, yeah, I think you want Evan Bouchard firing the puck every chance he gets. But it needs to be a decent look for him. And I don't know. I'm never going to criticize him for, you know, putting it on the stick of Connor McDavid unless it was an absolutely obvious one.
Zuby, on his vacation from his hotel room.
Oh, Zuby, go to bed.
Replies about...
Eat it.
He has an important comment about the Girl Guide cookies. He said, they're seasonal. Peppermint is in the winter. Chocolate and vanilla are back for the spring. Who knew? All right.
Massive call. That's the biggest contribution he's made to this podcast.
it's important. Okay. Some comments about Holloway on the stream. So Sori Koskinen says... Thoughts on Holloway? Would his speed and tenacity be helpful for our bottom six?
Yes.
Or do you guys feel he's better served 20 minutes a night in the AHL for the rest of the season? Arthur Fanzarelli replies and says, when the playoffs come and they hopefully look to make room for Holloway, who's coming out? Barring injuries, anyone aside from Janmark or Brown? Struds.
Yeah, those are probably the two guys, right? I think those are the easy ones. And Ryan, I guess he's already been taken out of the lineup. So it's a lot easier to take someone else out when they've been out already. So yeah, those are the guys I'd say.
The Oilers are about to hit another playoff year with absolutely no clue what they have in Dylan Holloway. No clue what they have. There's going to be no confidence in throwing him in because he doesn't have enough games under this coach with this team. First round pick, NHL ready. And he just, when he was here earlier in the season, when it was an opportunity for him to get the traction that would be he'd be leaning on now to have those experiences at the start of the year and actually build up a body of work and build some confidence, he wasn't playing, was hardly playing at all. So once again, another year where Holloway, they get to the playoffs and they're not sure how usable he's going to be. And I think that's unfortunate. I think there needs to be a better plan than that one ended up being. But I will say it's good that he's been playing lots in the American Hockey League instead of being dragged around at the NHL level. Two more, Steven. Let's get out of here.
Okay, so Danglebot says, a noticeable stat for me is Ryan McLeod hasn't had a single point against a playoff team since January 16th. And then he later on added a caveat that said, if the Capitals do in fact make the playoffs, then that means he's had 1 point against a playoff team since January 16th. Anything to that, Jogger?
I mean, you want, yeah, half the teams are in, half aren't. Would you love him to bury a couple against Colorado? Sure, in a big game. Overall, and I'm just taking a look at his overall production here recently. I think you want him contributing more than he has been for sure. You want him locking down the opportunity that's sitting in front of him on the second line on the left side with Leon Draisaitl. He hasn't really locked that down either. So, yeah, it's been fairly underwhelming, I would say. Struts?
Yeah, do you care the playoff thing? It's hard because those are good teams, right? So it's harder to score against good teams, generally speaking. Like, I'm not reinventing the wheel here, but you do want those let's call them second tier players on your team, and that's if that makes sense, to contribute in those games, you know, when they can, or you know, being opportunistic. And so I didn't know that stat, and I don't really care about it. But now that you say it, it would be nice if you were to chime in with some of those games or chances here and there.
I got him at 3 goals in his last 26 games. He spent quite a bit of time playing with some good players in that time too. It's not enough.
Okay, last question comes from Marku on Twitter, and he was asking, I didn't copy it exactly, so, but he was wondering, Struds, and sorry to put you on the spot here, but were you ever in a situation on a team where the captain or a leader on your team had to speak to someone like Kane, pump his tires a little bit, tell him he's what is needed, and did that get that player going?
I do remember those conversations, yeah, for sure. There were some that happened. And it's not like a magical formula, right? Where you just say, hey, buddy. But at times coming from a teammate is really, really valuable. It's just different than a coach because it's like a peer and someone, especially when it's your captain. And, you know, it just, I remember I was spoken to by a veteran one time and a guy just said, listen, you're not playing right now, but you're going to be a part of this team for a long time. You need to just continue to work, continue to be there and just continue what you're doing. You're going to get your chance. And it really lifted me up. It felt really good. It kind of filled my wind, my sails with some wind, right? You need to have that. So I think that, you know, whether it's Kane or whoever needs a little bit of McLovin right now, I think there's an opportunity for someone to have that conversation.
All right, that was Ask Us Anything, brought to you by Match Eatery and Public House. And with that, our show comes to an end. Outside of our gem of the night, I'm thinking, nothing's popping out directly.
I got it.
Hyman, I mean, it's got to be Hyman-ish, the comment from Hyman, Struds.
Now, just the moment when Hyman scored, the reaction by his teammates, that is pure sport, love, and joy. So that moment when he scored, everyone hugging him, McDavid going to get the puck. Like, I loved everything about that. That was a pure moment, and we don't often get to see that.
Yeah, that was real, real nice, real good to see it. Some emotion, like legit emotion. And as a reporter, I love the comment that Zach Hyman had at the end of the game, too. That almost supersedes it because I think like a reporter. Love the fact that he opened up and reflected on his career. It's been fantastic. And good for him. 50 goals, Zach Hyman. Pretty impressive stuff. That'll wrap up the show. Thanks to our title sponsor, Sherwood Buick GMC, and all our sponsors, quite frankly. Thanks to all of you for joining us on the live stream. Lots of great interaction here, and we really appreciate all of our regulars. and appreciate some of the newbies that hopped on as well. Thanks for your downloads and your subscriptions. Leave us a review if you get a chance over on iTunes. Steve, welcome back from vacation. Not bad tonight, buddy.
Thanks, boys. It was fun. Nice to be back.
See you, Struds.
See you guys. Good night.